skiing the rain and the fog quite often. But we think that's normal.
Nearby Eagle Crest Ski Area has a new leader, and memorial services are this week to remember a steadfast neighbor. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. That news and more up next. Pete Lapham passed away Sunday evening among family at his home in Haines. He had been dealing with cancer for about a year and a half and was 65 years old. Lapham owned the Saw Shop and helped start the logging show events at the Southeast Alaska State Fair. This year's annual event occurred just days ago. He loyally served on the Haines Volunteer Fire Department for 40 years, worked for the State Department of Transportation for 32 years, served on the Haynesboro Assembly, and was a former race director for the Alcan 200 Snow Machine Race, which he won in 1984. He leaves behind a large group of family and friends, including his wife Diana and three grown children. Services to remember Pete welcome everyone and begin at 11 a.m. Thursday at the Chilcott Center for the Arts in Haines. His four decades of service as a firefighter will be honored with special ceremonies involving the fire engines and crew. A procession through town will carry him in the fire engine to Jones Point for graveside services. A potluck-style reception at the Elks Lodge in Haines will follow at around 1 o'clock. For people traveling to the services from Yukon and Skagway, Chilcott Quan Cultural Heritage Tours is offering discount travel on the Chilcott Ferry. The cost is $28 each way. The ferry's itinerary includes a 10:30 a.m. ferry from Skagway that arrives Haines at 11 a.m. The ferry makes a return trip to Skagway, leaving Haines at 3:15 p.m. Contact information is at chilcottferry.com. Southeast commercial purse seine season is off to a record-setting start, with the fleet harvesting big numbers of pink salmon on the northern end of the region. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game was forecasting a strong harvest of 55 million pinks this season in Southeast, and the catch is well on its way to reaching that forecast, or even surpassing it. The final week in July saw a catch of 18.8 million humpies, with the fleet adding another 4.9 million in that final week. That brings the catch by the end of July to 23.7 million pinks and already surpasses last year's total catch. Bill Davidson, Fish and Game's Regional Salmon Management Coordinator, says it's a record-setting catch for this time of year and tops even the biggest years on record.
That catch is off the charts high. You know, going back, we had a 14.5 million by this time in 1989 and 14.2 million in 2005 and 11 million in 1963. In the record year, we only had 6 million by this time. So any way you look at it, we've had a record catch for this stage of the year.
As a comparison, last year at this time, the catch had not yet totaled 2 million. Some single openings this year have seen catches top 2 million pinks in District 12 and Chatham Strait alone. And so far, most of the catch has come in northern Southeast, with big numbers of pinks netted in Icy Strait, along with the Admiralty and Chichagof Island shorelines of Chatham Strait. On the flip side, sanding in southern Southeast has been slow. Districts 1 through 4 around Prince of Wales and Ketchikan have had reduced fishing time and lower returns, and the fleet has focused its effort on the northern end. Davidson says that could change in the next few weeks.
What remains to be seen is how the middle and late run systems develop and how the south end develops. So far, 97% of the seine harvest has been in the northern districts as opposed to the southern districts as far as pink salmon go. Very highly predominantly a north end show this far. I think from this point on we're going to have to see as the north early runs wind down on the north end, we're going to see a redistribution of effort.
Fish and Game has seen landings from 255 seine boats this summer, which is up just slightly from a slow year last year. The department has switched to a two-day on, two-day off fishing regimen to get a better idea of the returns in the middle and later part of the season. The average price is 41 cents a pound for seine-caught pink salmon at the docks, and chum salmon are going for more than 80 cents a pound. If the high returns keep up, those high prices could help the fishery set a record for ex-vessel value. Normally about 30% of the catch is in by the end of July. The pink season typically peaks in early to mid-August. Southeast Alaska's only developed ski area has a new manager. The Eagle Crest Board of Directors last Wednesday announced the hire of Oregonian Ray Gardner for the job. Eagle Crest is owned by the city and borough of Juneau, which held a lengthy hiring process earlier this month that resulted in Gardner's selection. Rosemary Alexander sat in on it and tells us a little about him.
The new Eagle Crest general manager comes from the rainy Pacific Northwest.
I've been known to ski in the rain and the fog quite often, but we think that's normal.
Ray Gardner has more than 18 years' experience in the ski industry and a degree in ski area management from Wenatchee Valley College in Washington State. Gardner was mountain manager for Willamette Pass Ski Resort near Eugene, Oregon, for 15 years. He's currently attractions manager for Stone Mountain Park in Atlanta, Georgia. And during his interview in Juneau, he said he took that job when his wife needed to be close to her ailing father. And now it's time to return to the ski industry. Gardner was one of three finalists who competed earlier this month in the CBJ Assessment Center, where candidates had to respond to the daily situations and problems they would encounter as Eagle Crest manager. Board Chairman Wayne Stevens says the process clearly showed the board which candidate had the best skill set to run Juneau's ski area.
His calm demeanor, his thoughtful approaches, his experience level, the ski area that he's worked at in the past is very, very similar. A lot of involvement with local government, county government there, certainly borough government here. You know, just the broad range of experiences, and just the way he presented himself and the confidence with which he came to each new situation in the assessment center.
Eagle Crest has private concession mountain biking and the zip line. Gardner says summer operations have become a big topic in the ski industry.
I think the key is you take a look at what tools you have and then what assets you have to get them up there. You know, it's a tough sell because most ski areas are not on the beaten path, you know, this one being the same thing.
Gardner says he's had great hands-on experience from building chairlifts to grooming snow to flipping hamburgers, much like an Eagle Crest manager.
We did everything in-house. We were our own electricians, our own lift construction company. We did our own login. We painted the lodge. We put the roof on. We basically did everything ourselves.
Willamette Pass is in the Cascade Mountains. From his description, working for a government-owned ski area like Eagle Crest might actually be easier than Willamette's private enterprise that juggles federal, state, and county regulations.
It's set on two national forests, two separate counties, two separate ODOT regions, two separate state police, two separate county sheriffs, two separate ambulance service areas. One building was in Lane County, one building was in Klamath County. Three chairlifts were in Lane County, one was in Klamath County. And ultimately, we would sit buildings and fuel tanks on whichever county was the most favorable.
Ray Gardner will replace Kirk Duncan. After 6 years as Eagle Crest General Manager, Duncan resigned in April to become director of the CBJ Public Works Department. Gardner will be on the job at the mountain in mid-September. In Juneau, I'm Rosemarie Alexander.
Ben did it. Skagway's outdoor man of steel, Ben Seal, finished the 85-mile trail challenge in one weekend as planned. He began after work on Friday and was back at work Monday morning, bookending hikes and runs on 12 of Skagway's trails that make up the annual summer-long event, Duff's Trail Challenge.
He had to go right to work on Monday, which he said, oh man, that's going to be a long day.
Kristen Wagner of Sponsors the Backcountry Outfitters was on the support team.
It was a very busy weekend, but it went really well. Ben was awesome. He started, of course, Friday night with Smugglers Cove and AB, tons of energy. Me and a friend hiked up there to see him, and a bunch of other people hiked halfway to, you know, support and leave signs along the trail. And, you know, he just got up there and bounced around. He was fine, you know. Like, he'd just taken a little jog, not a 10-mile uphill hike.
The next day started at 5:30 a.m. with Denver and Lawton glaciers getting around to the upper and lower lake about noon.
He was doing great. Like, he just charged through it all. And he was even doing so good, as a matter of fact, at the end of the day when he got down from lower lake at 7 p.m., he decided to do Lost Lake, which he was going to do after the Chilkoot. But he's like, I'm feeling strong. Let's head out there and go do that. He'd been going like 14 hours, and then he's like, I still feel really good, so let's just go do Lost Lake so I don't have to worry about it tomorrow.
He arrived at the trailhead finish line to family and friends about 8 p.m. on Sunday night after completing the final and longest segment of the challenge, the Chilkoot Trail, but not without leaving the support team in a little suspense.
You know, he he's a wise man. He listened to his wife, who told him to just go a little slower and take it easy so he wouldn't get hurt, and that he could finish the whole challenge. And he did. He slowed it down on most of the trails, which I think actually benefited him. You know, it kind of went a lot later, and we were all waiting, and we were definitely all, you know, really worried. And it's so funny because, you know, his wife there, she's like, I know him, you know, I don't know why he's not here yet. And then sure enough, they about a half mile before they finished the trail, you get cell service, and he called, and she's like, we're so worried. And he's like, why are you worried? He's like, we're fine. What are you guys thinking?
The group is sending video footage of the event to an editor and hopes to have a film to show later on.
We're actually sending off to a guy that used to work for us a couple of years ago, and he's going into kind of film production type stuff, and I'm going to send it over to him, and he said we'd work out a trade or something. He was going to, you know, try to make a really cool video for us, maybe for a jacket or something. I think it'll take him a little while, but once we get it, we do want to, you know, post it on Facebook and put it on the website so people can view it. And we're even thinking maybe some sort of get-together, maybe a party or something to check it out, because it should be pretty cool.
A few photos from the weekend's challenge are at khns.org, along with this newscast. This is Tara Bicknell for KHNS News.